This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land. On tonight's episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be speaking with local pansexual multi-instrumentalist, performer, composer, teacher, and all-around auditory ninja, John Morrison. Of course, we'll also be bringing you the latest and greatest bi news, updating you on the Bypass agenda, and bringing you some new, interesting music as courtesy of our special guest. This is one of the first tracks coming up. It's Welcome to Paradise. How very appropriate. This is Triple Bypass, and you're about to listen to Green Day on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to paradise. A gunshot rings out at the station. Another urchin snaps and left it on his own. It makes me wonder why I'm still here. The sunshine dreams and it's now feeling like I am. And I'm never gonna go. Welcome to paradise.
bringing you more of your community. Joy 94.9.
That's right, you're listening to Joy 94.9, and that was Welcome to Paradise by Green Day, sung by the very bisexual Billy Joel Armstrong. Now, my name's Ruby.
My name's Andrew.
And we are here with Triple Bypass, bringing you all the updates you need for the progress of the Bypass agenda in Australia and throughout the world. If you listen to the podcast, we're based here in Melbourne, and we are joined by, come out, we'll be speaking with local pansexual, multi-instrumentalist, typical, couldn't just pick one, performer, composer, teacher, producer, and all-around auditory ninja, John Morrison, to talk about his upcoming single, which we released on cassette, which is amazing, and his own story about finding community since he moved here from Canada. You can get in touch with us, email the show at onair@joy.org.au or text us on 0427569949. You can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy, on Twitter at Triple Bypass, and on Instagram at Triple Bypass Joy. You can email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au. And this show, along with all our previous episodes, are available as podcasts on iTunes, on Google Podcasts if you're an Android user. And if you give us a rate and review, maybe we'll give you a shout out next week.
Give it a red hot go.
Oh, we're not asking for something for nothing. This is community radio. It doesn't work like that.
It's all about the feedback, all about the community, all about giving back.
So thanks so much for being with us this evening. John, are you ready to get into some Bind news?
I am super ready. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you here. And I'm going to be talking about the whole story that got you here, which is almost a year. It's been almost a year since we first made contact, which is very exciting.
Yes.
But this news is actually relevant for you because I say that just because it's about Canada. Mm-hmm. So Canadian porn studio MindGeek is launching a bisexual porn studio called Why Not Bi? Having a studio devoted to bisexual porn could mean that the main gay porn studio Men.com will no longer feature bisexual porn scenes, so this hasn't been confirmed. But WhyNotBi.com says that scenes will focus on the men, which is a nice change because often bisexual porn is about threesomes with women. Which is not always great, given that's often how a lot of men form their ideas of queer women in general.
It's this kind of performative mess that's...
Yeah, it's performative lesbianism, which is like a very problematic issue. So it's the first time we're actually hearing of a porn studio that's going to be dedicated to making pornography for bisexual men. Now, maybe they just announcement has come at a very interesting time because, and I think, you know, MindGeek has been jumping on this new foreseen gap in the market because apparently bisexual people watch a lot of pornography.
Got to get our ideas from somewhere.
We're all too awkward to do it in real life. Listen, so last week, initial survey by porn site X-Hamster found that bisexual people are more likely to watch porn several times a day than straight and gay people. That being said, LGBTI people were more likely to watch porn daily than straight people too. So over 11,000 users participated in the survey, answering questions about their porn watching habits, identity, and more. Questions like, do you think watching porn is healthy? And do you think it's real? And apparently, X-Hamster had a very great response because they said that, is X-Hamster part of a plot to neuter red-blooded American men? Nah. But we welcome our bisexual overlords?
Yes.
They're more progressive, more tolerant, have a more positive attitude on outlook on sexuality. Plus, they love everything we do.
And literally. We do.
It's wonderful. Oh, actually, we just had a membership come in from John in Frankston. Thank you so much for signing up, John, and keeping us on there. If you would like to become a member of Joy, you can join us on the website at joy.org.au because this is community and you're who keep us on the airways. Back to the pornography, though.
Got to keep the priorities in order.
Well, I thought so. I think it's really interesting because, like, I don't watch pornography. I read. I read a lot of fanfic.
Excellent.
On Archive of Our Own. Huge fan. Do donate. But X-Hamster is interesting because they're a site that has actually shown a lot of, while they do say that they cater for heterosexual people, they have made a point quite a few times to show their support for the LGBTI community, particularly after North Carolina passed their bathroom laws in 2016, they actually would block all searches for transgender pornography in from coming from North Carolina. Oh. And get a pop-up saying, we've blocked it for these reasons, you hypocrites. So, and also they actually took down all of their rape play porn as well. So I had a lot of respect for them for that.
That's
so
fantastic.
I thought it was really cute. And Jonah, and what was the next one about? So this was about, this is Bisexual Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, and the Human Rights Campaign Foundation are encouraging bisexual people to come out to their care providers. it's really important. They're highlighting how bisexual people are less likely to disclose their orientation to any medical professional than gay or straight people, so single-sex attracted folk. And the human...
They've published a guide to kind of guide you through it, which is really lovely. I think it can be a really challenging thing because I think we're actually... we're the least likely to disclose it, but also we're the least likely to go to doctors when we don't feel well. So
is that the case?
Yeah.
My goodness.
And I think there's a kind of, you know, those two things kind of lead in. So negative experiences in medical settings can lead bi people to delay their doctor's appointments, which also can help, which can exacerbate issues. So much like lesbian women, less likely to go and get mammograms as well. So I think that kind of fear of being... of experiencing discrimination or misunderstanding or your doctor thinking that you're, you know, fitting into stereotypes or asking questions about your sex life and assuming you're promiscuous means that we just don't go into those places at all, which is not great because we don't, you know, as the human rights campaign did point out, we bisexual and pansexual people don't have some pretty serious health issues across the board.
There's a massive health disparity between bi plus folk and same sex or single sex attracted people, and
yeah,
it's a real worry.
It is a worry, and so I think like it's really nice to have a guide that kind of gives you some steps to get through it. So like, you know, bringing a friend and why it's important, because I have heard some stories, and like I know I've had some instances with therapists. I think a lot of people have had the same, or like, you know, someone asking if you're a doctor asking or mentioning you're bisexual to a doctor and then responding with like, oh, well, are you sleeping with a lot of people? It's like, well, no, I'm monogamously married, and I don't really think that's an appropriate question to ask. But also there's that sense as well of like, you know, it's important for people to know our identities apart to get the best care, but also that having to disclose, like, how do you bring up, by the way, I'm bi?
Yeah, it's a really curious question.
This is why we wear T-shirts that say it.
The badges. It's all in the badges.
It's in the badges and the T-shirts and the hats.
When you're cuffed trousers and your extraneous piercings and your brightly coloured hair aren't enough.
When your flagging's just getting missed, when it's just being erased, just wear your shirt that says, I like my men, like my women and everybody else, that's the joke I'm bi. I added a line there to make it inclusive of me and other non-binary folk out there. But, I suppose it's interesting, though, because I know that it's not something I've brought up when I've gone in for, like, a general checkup. But that being said, I also, like, they're like, so how are you going with the anxiety and the depression and everything else? I'm like, well, it's great. Thank you for asking.
Checking in. Just checking in.
I think an important thing to do is that they're also having a list of competent healthcare providers, and that's really important to know that you're going to doctors that you can disclose for safely. So I know here in Melbourne there's the Mind Equality Centre on St George's Road.
Heard wonderful things about them.
And the Equinox Centre as well, which is extremely positive in that sense. But it's always like, if you don't know explicitly, it's always a bit of a gamble, I think. And so I can hopefully, we're going to post a link to the guide up on our Facebook page later. So make sure you do check it out and check out where you might be able to find some healthcare providers that have shown they have a basic understanding and are not going to be shit.
And not only is you disclosing your sexual orientation helpful for your own health outcomes, it might help other bi patients, bi plus patients, in terms of their visibility. Getting your doctor used to us.
It's all about the representation. And I think that's the thing, it's taking on that if you're in a position where you can maybe chat with your doctor and explain some things, you're making it easier for the next person to come across. Not that that is your responsibility, but if you're in a place and a position to do so, or you've got a friend who can come along and help you out with that, then it can be very helpful. Now, speaking of things that are helpful and good for you, we're going to be jumping to a community service announcement. But right after that, we're going to be listening to John Morrison's Single Ocean Breeze and having a chat with the musician himself. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Triple Bypass, and this is Joy 94.9.
doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. But I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, not a care in the world. Reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
Joy 94.9, radio that's out and proud. Joy!
You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is the Bisexual Takeover Triple Bypass with Ruby.
And Andrew, and if you loved John's Summer Breeze as much as we did, let us let him know by emailing us on air at joy.org.au or text us on 0427 569 949. You can find us on Facebook, Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, or email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au.
That's right. So that was John Morrison with a cover of Summer Breeze. Thank you for sharing that with us, John. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much for listening to it and playing it and having nice things to say about it.
Well, we're delighted to say that we are now, of course, joined in the studio by the pansexual multi-instrumentalist, all-around auditory ninja, John Morrison, who, at the age of just 31, already has a music career that has spanned more than two decades. You've been featured at the Vancouver International Drum Festival, the Australian Ultimate Drummers Weekend, as well as performing at the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, among other accolades. And so this is actually one side of your first single release. So and so you're looking at developing your extended play record. I have to ask exactly what that is, because is that like a extended song or a record or a play?
No, it's basically, it's an album, but it's just shorter. It's a little less work. So it's usually between like 4 and 6 tracks as opposed to, 8 to 14 or whatever. It's just a little easier to get out a bit quicker.
Excellent. And that means you can, you strive to push the envelope creatively with music and to foster a love for all music within the greater communities, which is a very pansexual thing to do, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so lovely to see you. I think last time I saw you was at Midsummer Pride March, where you're marching with the Bi Plus community of Victoria, which is lovely. And now we're going to jump into, so with this song, Summer Breeze, that's going to be one side of a cassette which we are releasing, and the other side is your original song, Before I Go.
Yes.
Now, a few questions. Firstly, why cassettes?
Well, that's a good question. I grew up in an era where, like, I had a huge cassette collection when I was a kid. You know, it was before downloading and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think I got my first actual CD until I was, like, I don't know, 11, 12, 13. And I made a big deal about it, but everything, you know, I made my own mixtapes, you know, I could take them in the car. And I would just, you know, we'd go to the record shops and, like, I would browse for cassettes. And I was always, I'm in a very musical family upbringing and you know, I'd always been going to the record stores and all that kind of stuff. But I just kind of love cassettes.
Yeah.
And part of it, you know, is also just, like, I kind of wanted to put something out for people who have a little bit of that nostalgia, you know, when, you know, Putting out a physical, having a physical product in your hand actually kind of mattered. Yeah, having the artwork
does.
And something.
Like record sales have gone back up again. Like,
oh, for sure, vinyl's making a huge comeback, and that's no coincidence. Yeah. You know, because
Discman were never practical.
Never.
You had to hold them so still, and then like you had to get the toothpaste out to fix all the cracks in your CD.
I remember I had one which was marketed as like a jogger's Discman, and
can you imagine a Discman taped to your arm?
Perfect. It was perfect. Every step you take, jump, jump, jump. Something cassettes always outdid. CDs on.
Yeah, definitely. The one drawback, obviously, you know, with enough use. I mean, like most analog media, it will degrade over time. And you know, I've had a few tapes get chewed up. You know, unfortunately,
yeah, having to, like, try and pull them out of your Walkman or out of like their cassette player.
But that being said, if you buy mine, it's going to be great.
It's going to be fine. It's
going to be perfect. Forever.
Yeah, it will. It's going to have a special tape. It's not going to get chewed. I'm lying. It's probably going to. Who knows? It depends on how much you listen to it.
And so if people want to, has the whole cassette been released, or is that coming out soon?
So the actual physical cassette, there is a little bit of a turnover on that, so I'm hoping to get them shipped out sort of towards the end of April. That being said as well, you know, I can put all my links and all the stuff, you know, I can announce it all, and it's all online. If people want to get their hands on it immediately, you can get a digital copy. Or if you want to party like it's 1995, you know, it's spring for a cassette, you know.
I was definitely underage at that point.
Right, indeed.
I remember my party.
The best kind of partying.
I think my French teacher was there.
I think mine was a fairy party at Merrifield.
And a train on my cake.
Now, so this is, Summer Breeze has been, whole project has been a bit of, but when you say multi-instrumentalist, so, you know, you're John the drummer, who shows up a lot, but obviously it's not just drums. So what else are you playing?
Well,
can you list everything?
Probably a shorter list to, you know, things that I don't
play. What is the
most
obscure thing that you play?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Greek bouzouki, bass clarinet.
Yep.
It's been a long time. I'm not enough, you
a
know.
Greek bouzouki?
Yeah.
So that sounds like a video game. Like the one with the bear and the bird in the background.
Banjo Kazooie.
Yeah, that one.
I was an original, you know, gamer. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I was talking about instruments that you play. So
yes, sorry. So it's a shorter list of things that I don't play, but most everything, to put it more succinctly, anything that you hit with your hands or sticks, so any kind of percussion, anything with plucked strings, anything with keys, anything that you blow into, minus woodwinds. I can't get, like, flute embouchure. I can't do that. I don't know how people do that with their face. I have utmost respect for flutists, however you want to pronounce it. and everything on that track, that was all me.
Fantastic.
Wow.
And so again, like, I just want to say, like, typical pansexual.
Well, I don't want to pigeonhole myself, you know. I mean, I
don't want to, like, limit yourself. I understand.
No, certainly. And I mean, I showed it when I was, you know, five or six. I just sat down and started playing a drum kit, and my mom was like, "That's amazing. This kid's got talent. I'm going to enroll him in piano and voice lessons." So that he can, you know, and I'm really thankful
that
she did that.
That's a good response to a kid playing drums. I think most people would be like, "Oh God, no! Of all the instruments, why is my child playing this?"
It was more to give me a really, you know, strong musical foundation and understanding.
Yeah.
And she did, you know, within about like a year and a half, 2 years, I did wind up getting a drum kit, and then you know, I just, you know, you had to force me out of the basement, like, go outside and play. I'm like,
I am
drumming
playing
for 10, yeah, right.
I'm playing
drumming
my drums
for 10 hours a day, and then as you know, I grew up and moved on, progressed, you know, I just kind of found my way back to, you know, piano and voice, and started picking up guitar and, you know, discovering, you know, I can do this, I can play this, I like this, you know, why do I need to rely on other people to do this for me? I got the music in
there. I'm
going
to go play at the Olympics now.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That was definitely, like, I think, one of those things I just looked at, I'm like, oh, that's the thing people do.
My goodness.
My goodness.
such an accomplishment.
And
definitely, like, I think if you were doing that again, do you reckon you'd, like, try and find, like, pansexual colored, like, stats for yourself?
Yeah, probably. Like, I wasn't necessarily out at that point. So probably, yeah, in hindsight, yeah, I 6 years old, started, you know, dressing up in the colors. You know, I've always loved pink and yellow and
yes.
And blue and
oh, we're going to jump onto that right after this community message. And we're playing a song that was chosen by John, which is by Alanis Morissette from one of the best albums of all time, Jagged Little Pill. Hand in My Pocket coming up after these messages, so stay tuned. You're listening to Triple Bypass, and this is Joy.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful. Be there in what it all comes down to. That everything's gonna be fine, fine, fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five. Well, I feel drunk but I'm sober. I'm young and I'm underpaid. I'm tired but I'm working. I care, but I'm restless. I'm here, but I'm really gone. I'm wrong and I'm sorry, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be quite alright. 'Cause I've got pretty. I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one
Hi, I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And in the words of Matilda / Mara Wilson, here to put the B in LGBTIQA+. I had those two on the end just to mess with people because we're inclusive and I am tired of seeing acephobic rhetoric on Facebook groups.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I'm Ruby.
I'm Andrew.
And we're joined by John Morrison, a local performer and multi-instrumentalist. We've been chatting with him about the many, 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 many instruments he played. We also played one song from his debut cassette, which is coming out soon in April, which is a cover. The song is Summer Breeze, and it's quite beautiful, in my opinion. But one of the things we're mentioning is that, John, as part of your career, you did perform in the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, and I had suggested as a little hee-haw joke that, you know, if you could do it again, would you wear, like, the pansexual flag braces? And you mentioned that at the time you weren't out. So obviously you've gone from not being out to being on an explicitly multigender-attracted radio show. So in the last eight and a bit years, what's changed aside from your locale? You've moved, it's a bit of a move from Canada to Australia.
A hop, skip, and a jump.
Just a little one.
Yeah, look, personally, I don't necessarily think that... I mean, obviously, I haven't changed. I just sort of... there was kind of something always under the surface, you know? I think through a lot of, heteronormative conditioning and the erasure that happens, you know, and just through various experiences and whatnot, I was just kind of always... conditioned to sort of, you know, not think about that part of myself. And as I went on, and there were a few very influential sort of friends and mentors in my life who, one of them being Philip McAllaria, shout out if you're listening, Philip, I love you, and my amazing partner, Bronwyn.
Shout out if you're listening, Bronwyn.
Yeah, right. And starting to just see and meet more people like myself with shared experiences and similar experiences. And I think I told you when we first met, I mean, for me, this show was a bit of a game changer as well. Because I hope that it is for many other people, because it was one of the first times where I actually was like, holy crap, there's a show about this. They're talking to me. They're talking about me. People like me, stuff like that. So it's just kind of like a gradual sort of embracement, if that's a word, of
it is now.
Yeah, right? I'm starting it. Hashtag embracement. I think that when I came down here as well, it was I had a lot of varied experiences and you know, typical, you know, like mid-20s, like, I need to travel and find myself kind of thing. But I found that, you know, in Australia, well, at the time, you know, obviously marriage equality wasn't a thing, and in some aspects, you know, Australia is and was behind, but in many others it was quite progressive, and I felt like I could really, not to knock Canada at all, because, you know, it's a very progressive nation as well, but I kind of actually got involved and met community and met people and stopped kind of shying away from that kind of stuff. You know, I never really fully embrace that until, yeah, I just kind of got here, and then eventually I was just like, you know, fuck it. I'm not, and now, like, yeah, I'm in it now, you know, yeah. I can't, you know, yeah, I'm proud of who I am, you know, I love it, and I think it's important, to be vocal about it, and to be visible, and to represent, because, you know, we were talking about how, not necessarily by nature, but just a lot of the time, we just are invisible. Mm-hmm. You know, forced to pick a side, or we just, you know, ignore one side, or, you know, whatever it might be. So I feel it especially as well, because, I mean, I am in a long-term, you know, monogamous relationship with someone who's female-identified, and, you know, I lost count how many times, you know, like, oh, you know, you're straight, right? I'm like, well, actually, no. And then, of course, you know, I have to do the educate, and like, well, this is actually what it means, and all that kind of stuff, but, you know. But, so, yeah, it's really, I feel that it's very important to yeah, be visible and be vocal.
I mean, I was going to say it's a bit ironic being visible on a radio show, isn't it?
True, yes. I mean, obviously nobody can actually see me right now.
We'll get
the true, it's the true bisexual experience, though. You
just hear them whispering in your ears?
We're proud, we're present.
We're so loud.
But you can't
can't see us anywhere.
Where's that voice coming from? it's interesting because, like, John, you sent us an email back in May 2018, and it was, you know, we'd received a few bits and pieces from people overseas, but this was a well thought out email, and I remember reading it to Anthony and James, and I personally, I'm a bit of an emotional machine, getting quite choked up about that, and to go from there to finding out to meet you at the Celebrate Bisexuality Day picnic in September last year, and to meet Bronny, your partner, and now you're here on the show. That's been really lovely for me to see that, and also to see, like, you know, you've got your PAN badges and everything, and I think it's and I'm really it's so nice to be able to have you here to so you can continue that part and be a voice for different people in the music scene, and, you know, encourage people who are PANBLs, people who just don't want to pick one instrument, but also I think it's definitely the issue of ratio is particularly hard, I think, for people in relationships that do get read as straight. It does cut you off from community and cut you off from a lot of the education and learning and connections you can make through community. So what year did you come to Australia, though, just checking in on that?
I first came here in 2012.
Okay.
On a working holiday, yeah.
Oh, wow. And now I know you got your permanent residency recently.
Yes,
as well, so
yes.
We're stuck with you.
Yeah, definitely. Y'all can't get rid of me now. Actually, end of this year, I'll be eligible for my citizenship, finally. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, gonna do it.
Join the ranks. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love Vegemite. I might as well just take the full plunge. I'm basically Aussie now.
That's impressive. I'll say that. There are not many people who come to a country who will, like, willingly eat our Vegemite.
It was an acquired taste. When I first tried it, I thought it tasted like feet. But after look, I wanted to make an effort, and I was curious, and I thought,
I will experience your culture. Yeah, I'll eat your black bitter paste.
Yeah, yeah. But now it's like, I can't get enough of it. It's fantastic. Oh. I've met some friends who, like, thought about turning it into soup, you know, like all kinds of crazy culinary delights.
Well, it's good. And also, I suppose, but, you know, you can hear, because, you know, you play the didgeridoo on your single Summer Breeze. And so was it something you picked up when you moved to Australia?
Yes, it was. And actually, thank you for reminding me. I do feel it's important to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the yidaki, as it's traditionally called, or the didgeridoo, as it's more commonly known. And it's in the liner notes of my album and all that kind of stuff. But I learned that I was first taught in about 2013. I lived in Adelaide for some time, and I was lucky enough to make an Aboriginal friend. His name was Darren Bead. Shout out if you're listening, Darren. Wonderful human, and I'm very thankful that he chose to share the Yidaki's gifts and secrets, some of them. You know, we're always learning, as I teach many of my students. But yeah, that was something that I'd always wanted to learn and add to my sort of arsenal, but you know, it just never worked out, or it didn't feel right. And I figured, well, I mean, I'm in Australia. But I didn't push it. Yeah. And I just wound up, it happened that I met this wonderful human, and it just marked a beautiful relationship, and it's a fantastically wonderful spiritual instrument. And I love it. It's added a lot to my creative palette.
I'm reading right here your acknowledgement on your Bandcamp. So that's johnmorrison.bandcamp.com, which has both Summer Breeze, and you can play Summer Breeze, but to hear the full, you need to purchase either the cassette or purchase the downloads, which you can do there.
A little bit of mystery in there.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta leave some people guessing. They always seem to when it comes to bi and pan folk anyway.
Yeah. and if you like what I do and you think I'm not a jerk, then, you know, I implore you, consider supporting me and my artistic practice. That'll be very lovely, and I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
What a good plug.
I know. This is so kind.
Oh, thanks.
Nice. Like, I'd really
well, I am
it.
Canadian, so.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. We should have expected it, eh?
Oh, definitely, eh? Thanks a lot. Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Support my music. Yeah. Beautiful people. Now, coming out, we've got a song that was by your uncle, I think, actually. So this is a song called A Beautiful Dream from a project called Carnival of Souls. That's coming up after this short message. You're listening to Triple Bypass. We'll be right back after this break. This is Joy 94.9.
Do you have an online commercial profile, or are you an erotic masseuse? If you have been abused or harassed or are concerned about a client's behaviour, you can speak to a member of Victoria Police Sex Industry Coordination Unit for advice and assistance, or anonymously make a report. You can also speak to a GLOW LGBTI liaison officer. Victoria Police will take your complaint and privacy seriously. Call 9628 7192. That's 9628 7192. You don't have to suffer in silence. Joy supports this community message.
Hey, this is Rhodes, and you're listening to Australia's Joy 94.9.
The dream that I had was a beautiful dream in which we lived forever. The things that we loved would not fade away. We could hold on to today's, and love was so strong that it overcame hate and thoughts of wealth and race, yes, and all of the things that we prayed for came true, and peace was on. The children were safe in his garden at last. Our evolution had come to pass. That was the dream I had. Do you have it? Do you have it?
SMS 0427 Joy 949.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and we're nearing the end of this week's episode of Triple Bypass, the bisexual and tonight explicitly pansexual program here on Joy. If you've missed, if you're just tuning in now, you can catch all of our episodes in this one as a podcast on iTunes. And if you give us a rating and a review, we'll give you a shout out. And of course, the kind of shout out they'll get will very much depend on your rating and review. As you might imagine. My name's Ruby.
My name's Andrew.
And we've been joined by John Morrison. We'll be winding up quite soon, but before we do, that was A Beautiful Dream by Carnival of Souls.
Mm. There's some sort of connection with you and Carnival of Souls, is that right?
Yes, yes. The main brain and mastermind of that project is my uncle Rick Morrison, who was something of a mentor and a he was a huge role model for me and still is. We've been lucky enough to work together on a few projects, and there's some things that we got hopefully developing down the track. And I have utmost respect for my uncle and everything that he does. And he's a magnificent human and a magnificent musician. His career goes back, you know, 40 plus years, you know, makes me look like a toddler. So if you're listening, Uncle Rick, big ups. I love you. And I was like, I'm going on the radio. I have to play Uncle Rick. It's, you know, and I think the message of that particular song as well, regardless of who you are, where you're from, you know, I think we all have that dream, you know? It's just about loving each other and being a good person and you know, the way that things could and can be, you know?
What a fantastic sentiment.
Yeah.
So we met you, we being the show, at the Midsummer...
We last caught up. We met at the picnic last.
Yes. Met at the picnic, yes. Last caught up with you at the Midsummer Pride March.
Yes.
How'd you find that?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it was my first time. I'd been to many Pride events, you know, as a spectator and stuff before, and you know, I thought, I really feel at home here, and I don't know why. back in the day.
How is it that I, a straight, heterosexual man, feel so comfortable at Pride?
Yeah, I feel like I should be here. But yeah, as soon as we finished, I remember, you know, I turned to the whole group, and I was just like, can we go again? Let's do it again. I just wanted to do it, you know, constantly.
Was another round.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. My first time doing it, I just kind of wanted to take it off the bucket list. You know, the crowd was fantastic. You know, we got a really great response. And yeah, it was just so cool to be a part of that.
So paint me a word picture. What was the regalia? What was the get up? Were you waving the pan flag?
Well, I'm one of those people. I'm a little bit more flair oriented. So I have, like, you know, little badges, little pieces, you know, this and that. I'm a little bit, you know, sort of plain in my styling. But I was first volunteer front and center. I was holding up, like, you know, we had a couple of big banners. We had, like, a huge, I suppose, like, snake-like bi flag that we were carrying around. So I was just like, yes, I volunteer for that. I want to be at the front holding it up. And also, it was like, if you were there, we were cooking that day. So it was also a little bit of shade as well.
You could hide under the flag.
There's a bit of strategy in there as well. Like, I'm out, but I'm also slightly more comfortable than the rest of you. Only slightly. But it was great.
Important considerations, especially for a Canadian.
Yeah.
And baking in the summer.
True. Mind you, I have acclimatized now. I don't know if I could handle minus 30 with wind chill like I used to.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. I actually feel just cold hearing that. Like, quite significant. I would die.
One time when I was playing hockey out in the school driveway in gym class, that was a thing we always used to, or sorry, the school parking lot, it was so cold that, like, my nose just started bleeding out of note, just boom, blood. My brain just exploded. It was insane.
Yeah. And then my brain exploded.
Oh, Canada. True North, strong and free.
I mean, you'd have to be pretty strong, I think, just to get through that.
I mean, just lands of extremes. You've gone from one land of extremes.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar, because Canada can be a very harsh country, as can Australia.
Mm-hmm. And different extremes, yeah.
Oh, for sure. And I learned, I did learn the hard way. You know, I've done a lot of hitchhiking across the country as well, and I actually almost succumbed to heat stroke and dehydration in the Red Center. On a particularly dry and long day waiting for a ride, so...
Many a white settler has done the same.
Indeed, yes. So I learned from that, you know, but I...
How was the sunburn?
Actually, you know what, though? On that instance, I didn't actually get a burn because I'm Greek and Italian, so being a Wagai, and Finnish and Scottish, so I burned once really badly, but then I tanned for the rest of the summer, so I was already good and olive by that point.
I see.
I was just parched and yeah, pretty. I was hurting, but I wasn't red. I was all right. And
do you think that that's kind of like a commentary on your journey, that you've been to a lot of Pride marches, and this time you've reached the point where you're in the Pride march now, so you're in there. And that, but also, I suppose, you know, there's often a lot of discourse around the bi verse pan being a thing, and you mentioned that you're holding the bi flag. Did you feel represented in the group there?
I did, for sure, because I think... There's still some work to be done not necessarily the acceptance of the word, you know, pansexual. I mean, it is a real thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as languages, you know, as we know, they evolve and change over time. And a lot of the time we have many, like, you know, an umbrella is an umbrella. It's also a bumper shoot. It's also many other things. They have different names. And that's just, you know, a label that I, you know, sort of personally felt a little bit more comfortable identifying with. But as time has gone on, and I've learned more about, you know, the community and myself and you know, just life and the universe in general, I'm cool with either. It doesn't really matter. As my papa used to say, call me anything but late for dinner.
That's so typical. I just couldn't pick one of them. It's fine. I'll take both.
You know, so in my day-to-day, it's Pam, but, you know, we were there.
Business buy, like, so, like, buy, like, buy in the front, pat at the back.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, sort of. So, yeah, they're yeah. you know, it was
so
it
you're
was
comfortable
perfect.
There. Awesome. Yeah, that's absolutely. Really good to you. And fine. Also, I will point out, I'm going to give you a compliment on, so you've got a badge there with a character from the manga and anime One Piece with mm-hmm. the pan flag behind him. Mm. So you designed that. Can we give a very, you know, we've got a few minutes for local
sure.
roots comes up, bringing us some awesome local music. Can you tell us a bit about why Yuffie is a pan icon for you?
Oh, for sure. I should say really quick, Bron actually made the badge for me. We were at Madman Anime Festival, and she, you know, did the whole thing, and, you know, she's very, very crafty.
Bron.
Indeed.
Nice work, Bron. It's fantastic.
But yeah, but Luffy, he, for those of you who haven't watched the show, he's a pirate, and he wants to be the Pirate King because he has the most freedom in the entire world. And the thing with Luffy is, he makes a point, like, you know, I'm never getting married, I'm not interested in any of that, none of that. I just want to be free, and the freest person on the ocean is the Pirate King. And with Luffy, he's so, spurred on by his principles, I suppose. Maybe spurred on is not the right word, but he's the type of person where if you're his friend or if you're his nakama, which is his, like, family, comrade, you know, if
chosen
you,
family.
Yeah, yeah. If you love him, he returns that unconditionally, and he's prepared to die for you. He'll fight for you, you know, his friends, his family, whomever it is. And he doesn't, you know, have any prerequisites, you know, for, you know, who you are, where you're from, you know, what you look like, how tall, anything like that. He doesn't care. So for me, while he's not necessarily explicitly out, we can draw our own conclusions, but I feel that, you know, Luffy embodies the Bipan spirit perfectly because he just has infinite capacity to love, and he'll protect his friends till the end. And he has died. We still have about 200 episodes to go in the series, but because we're catching up.
And you've already watched how many?
Oh, about 500 or 600. There's a lot of
casually.
Them.
Casually.
Just binge it over the weekend. Yeah.
But he is prepared. He's up to where we are. He's already died like 5 times.
I'll die for you. You did that
no
yesterday.
Yeah, right? It's all right. I'll do it again.
Can you do something special for me?
Yeah. He's stretchy.
Well, he is a rubber man.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, he's stretchy because, like, I've seen, like, episodes. I love it. Because I was seeing a few episodes, like when I was, like, back on, I think, like, Cartoon Network in the evenings, and, like, he eats, like, a fruit.
Yeah, the devil fruit.
The devil fruit.
The rubber fruit.
Yes,
yeah.
And they have all these different kinds of fruits, and all these people, depending on what the fruit you eat, you get, like, a special magic power.
And there's,
like,
different categories as well.
My favorite is the reindeer, who can get real buff.
That's Tony Chopper.
Because he ate
Chopper.
The buff fruit. Or something.
He ate the in Japanese, because I watch it dubbed. Pardon me, sub, not dubbed. He ate the
hito. That's an important distinction to make.
Indeed, but he ate the hito hito fruit, which is actually the human fruit, because he's a reindeer, so it actually turns him into a human.
What would have happened if a human ate the human fruit?
Double human.
I have wondered that.
Yeah, human squared.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, they just kind of, like, combust, like, I know everything.
Maybe.
I think I mentioned that because, you know, often, like, particularly, I think Japan still has pretty harsh censorship around LGBT representation in their things, which is interesting because they also, on the flip side, have, you know, this huge market of people who watch explicitly, like, gay cartoons and stuff like that.
Yaoi
and Yuri. And, like, have, like, you know, these interactive web comics and like, so, and, like, that, and, like, they make, yeah, it's just, it's huge, and yet they're still quite conservative in that sense. And so, but despite that, people have found ways to kind of, I think Yuri on Ice was the latest one that was kind of hinting at being it, and they kind of dance around it a bit, being like, are they together? Yeah, kind of. It's a synonym for their love. They're ice skaters. That's pretty gay, right?
I mean,
leotards.
I like the idea that Yuffie just, like, you know, like, oh, do you like boys or girls? I like pirate kings.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care. He makes a point. I'm never getting married.
Yeah,
none of that's important.
And I think it's, like, similar, because another anime that we mentioned before the show was Cowboy Bebop and Eddie or Edward. Like, you know, they are like, seem to be a very much a kind of gender ambiguous character in that sense.
Mm.
And they're often kind of, and we also were talking about, while it's not a technically Japanese anime, it's in that style of course, Korra and Asami from The Legend of Korra being one of the...
Oh, my favorites.
Andrew's face.
Right? Such a good show.
Magnificent. Just absolutely. Magnificent characterization.
No, keep going, please.
I could launch into some storytelling analysis on that show.
No, of course.
30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. No. It's good. Watch it.
Oh,
watch
it
all.
Absolutely. Okay. Also, watch The Predecessor, which is just Avatar The Last Airbender. You should watch the whole canon. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I agree. Actually, one of the things I loved most about, because even then, like, and even now, in the United States, and I think in Australia, there's quite...
any same-sex related content is mature content, so it can't be featured in children's television. So the way that I think Legend of Korra and Adventure Time were two of the first shows to try and find ways to really, much like Japanese anime has done in a lot of shows, to really make it clear without actually saying anything.
Kind of positive queer coding, which is
it's queer coding that's being done in the thing of like, we're trying to tell you this, like, you know, it's like Chinese Whispers as opposed to Supernatural, which is more like, we know you like this, we're going to pretend we're going to give it to you one day and just kind of hope that you'll keep watching.
Dangle the carrot.
Just dangle the carrot forever, and then it gets to the point where the actors are kind of getting uncomfortable and we cannot tease anymore and be like, oh, what do you mean? We never said we were going to do that.
Yeah.
And then all your fans hate you.
But yeah, Adventure Time's another one. I could probably just spend an hour doing my lemon grab impressions, you know.
Oh my gosh, see, that would ruin my levels on my radio board
here. Yeah, I'm just going to scream into this microphone.
But I think Marceline and Princess Bubblegum are a common example people use of bi icons, and I've seen some really lovely cosplays of them as well. And I think it's interesting as we kind of see now, so A Legend of Korra is one of the first, along with now, then we had, you know, Steven Universe, which got even more explicit, She-Ra, the recent remake, which has got explicit again. So I think, you know, we're starting to see content for children that is showing that, you know, same-sex or, like, you know, non-heterosexual romantic feelings are not in any way more adult. And I think that's a really, you know, as you were talking about, we've talked about this entire show, representation is so important. And, you know, we don't choose to be queer when we're adults. It's something we grew up with.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I mean, yeah, I knew. I was like 6 years old. I'm like, yeah, I'm different. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's normal. It's my normal. And it's just normal for
everyone. And if parents can joke about, like, you know, this boy is like such a lady killer when he's two, then, you know, they can start,
Can we not just look at queer?
They're just a killer.
A little? Just a little?
It's definitely something, you know, you can find the podcast. Jen from Representation Hour has gone into this with great detail. Mm. You can find those podcasts. We've also got the special by Polly podcast, which are also available only through iTunes and joy.org.au/triplebypass. We will be back next week at 9 on Tuesday. Coming up is Local Roots, bringing you some more local Australian music. John, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor and a privilege.
It's been brilliant having you.
Thank you. I hope to come back.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.